Well, I want to talk to you about the close-up experience. Tell me a little bit about that. I think it's fascinating that there hasn't been kind of a school or teaching people how to move and dance in front of a camera, and this organization helps artists understand movement in front of you know, a camera as opposed to on a stage or you know, in a dance studio. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, it's really fascinating because I've always felt that innovation happens where a gap exists. And I realized pretty quickly after spending some time in New York City and working with dancers in music videos and short films that dancers were not equipped with the education to make the shift from stage to screen. And I grew up as an actress. Kat and I met in junior high school. We grew up in the Magnet, you know, theater programs that existed in Miami at the time. And so we were in this theater program together. And then I went on to the University of Miami. And then after University of Miami, I started doing a lot of film acting training, which was completely different. The audition process is different. The job is different. And it's kind of a shock when you grow up doing theater and then suddenly you start going to film auditions thinking that you're going to do a monologue. And you walk into a room, they hand you sides, the acting is much smaller. They're, you know, having a camera in the room is completely different than performing to a theater, you know, with, you know, 500, 1,000 seats, trying to reach the old lady, you know, in the last row is what, you know, you're taught growing up. And it's assumed as an actor that you might be in a movie or you might be, you know, you might have a career in theater. And so they train you for both. But that assumption has never been true for dancers. So also growing up as a dancer, you learn the craft of dancing, but you don't learn a language for communicating with a director or a filmmaker on set. And even a lot of choreographers aren't even taught how to be translators between the director and the dancers. And so there's this massive miscommunication that happens that I was learning about in the moment, just doing it, where dancers would come and they would work on a music video and they knew that they had to have the whole day free, but they had no idea they'd be doing 12 to 16 hour days, which is very demanding on the body. And yes, it's demanding on actors, but not physically in the same way. And sometimes having a long day for actors might actually help them get to a really deep emotional place or a place of anger or wherever they need to get to emotionally. Whereas with dancers, you know, there's a limited number of takes that they can do until there's a diminishing return on the quality of what they're doing. So basically, like the first couple of takes, the dancers might be a little clumsy. It might not be in sync. They're still sort of feeling it out and getting into the zone. But by the time they hit the third, fourth, fifth take, they're going to be at their peak. And then the quality of what they're doing is going to start to really go down because of exhaustion. And I've been on so many sets like this where the dancers were getting injured, they were getting exhausted, the director would be frustrated because they don't know how to communicate with each other. And actually, communication with dancers needs to be much more clear and specific than with actors. Because actors are trained differently to just, you know, do it again and experiment with different ways of doing it and trust that the editor is going to be able to put it together in post, you know, in a way that serves the story. And so I started teaching a class, like an hour and a half sort of workshop class to dancers and on-camera technique dancers, an on-camera technique class for dancers in about 2007, which was the time that I had started, you know, working on videos in New York. And I realized after many years of doing this that they'll never actually learn it until they're on set. Because it's like the difference between learning how to fight a fire in a classroom or learning how to fight a fire by actually fighting a fire. You know, it's like Roger always says that indigenous cultures, when they teach the young kids how to hunt, they take them on a hunt. They don't talk to them about what it's going to be like when they go on the hunt. They just do it. And so you'll never really understand what it's like to be doing 12 to 16 hours you know, having to go really hard and then wait around for an hour while they change the lighting, having to sit and go through hair and makeup, and then keeping your body warm and agile and ready to go, how to ration your energy for 12 to 16 hours. It's a completely different thing. And so I realized that I just needed to create this workshop in order to give these dancers an opportunity to learn how to make this shift. And there's more on-camera work now than there's ever been in the history of dance, just because of how technology has changed and evolved over the years. And, you know, technology for filmmakers has completely been democratized in the way that music, you know, started with garage bands in the 70s.
Okay.
And so it's a really, really exciting time for creators, for dancers, for filmmakers, for actors, for anyone who uses the screen as a language to communicate. And simultaneously, as an artist, one of the challenges as a filmmaker and a choreographer is that you're constantly looking for ways to be able to fund your project, constantly looking for resources. And so this was an opportunity for me to bring together all of the things that I love and put it under one roof, you know. So I grew up dancing and acting and choreographing, and I started doing, you know, film and on-camera, you know, producing when I was in New York, you know, in the late, I guess, mid-zeros, you know, in like 05, 06. And I also spent a lot of time in the music industry. I worked in college radio. I worked for Sony Music. I've toured with a lot of artists, you know, everyone from Chester French and We Are Scientists, you know, touring with REM. And I've always had a love for music as well. So this was a really great way for me to bring it all together and create opportunities for everyone involved. So that felt really, really exciting to me.
So how long did it take to prepare everyone for the actual shoot for this project?
Well, that's a really good question. I started working with Kat. Actually, it's very interesting the way it all sort of came together. Kat and Wilson had sent me the song Empire Vampire, I want to say, like, maybe it was like 8 months before or six. No, I think it was like 8 months, maybe even a year before. I had even decided to pursue Close Up Experience. Close Up Experience is actually an idea that I've had since 2007, but everything hadn't really aligned for me to actually put together the workshop. But they had sent me the song a while ago, and
it was so lucky that we did, because it was we played a show in Orlando and we reconnected with each other that way. And I think I sent it to you because you were so good to us. Like, you supported our show, and you know, I just sent it to you as a, like, hey, thank you so much for being amazing, and here's our latest song that's not out yet. And, like, having no idea that it would turn into this huge, amazing project together. So anyway, I just wanted to say how lucky that was that we went through Orlando and found you again. You know.
Yeah, it was really, really synchronicitous in a way, because I remember after hearing it, I was like, we have to do a video for this. But what I imagined at the time was, like, so big. I imagined dancers, and I imagined locations, and I had such a big vision for it that I kind of at the time felt like, okay, well, this isn't the time, and I don't know where we would get the resources to do this. But we had spoken about it, and then we just let it sit. And simultaneously, you know, like 8 months before the project, a friend of mine who had moved to Howie in the Hills, Florida, which is like 40 minutes outside of Orlando, had told me about this amazing mansion. He was like, you have to check out this mansion. You've got to shoot something here. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. But I didn't have any projects on my plate, and I didn't really have a reason to go location scouting. And then when I started moving on Close Up Experience, I was like, hey, Mike, maybe I should come check out that mansion you've been telling me about. He had been telling me about it for ages. And I finally went to check it out, and it was something straight out of Interview with a Vampire. And it was so synchronicitous, because if I had chosen any other song, the location wouldn't have fit. And, of course, immediately when I knew that we were going to be doing a vampire story, I reached out to Roger. Everything just really fell into place. But to answer your question, I think I started in October. I started working with them on building Close Up Experience and building the creative vision for the piece in October. And we had a series of brainstorming chats with Kat and Wilson, and then with Roger, and then with all of us on the call, and the vision was continuing to develop right up until every single moment on set, you know, even
in
the day
January.
Before, the day of, yeah, we were constantly constantly, you know, fleshing out and getting brainstorms and getting insights and inspiration right up until the last minute. But I'd say it took me about 2 months.